Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Brian Nguyen as a guest for the podcast. I'm very excited for this podcast because Brian is my old friend and he is my brother in Christ. And we have worked together for many years to reach international students in the Triangle area, especially NC State. So Brian and I have been old friends, and then I'm so glad to have him. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, Sammy. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. Thanks so much for your time with us. And Brian is Vietnamese American. And today I want to know more of your story. Of course, I know your story, but I want our audience, our friends out there to learn about you and to hear wonderful stories, what God has been done in your life. So today I want to ask you some questions about your life. First question is, how did you become a follower of Christ?
I guess it was wanting to know the truth. That was one of the core things I wanted to know, was what was truth. I believed in a God, but yeah, I didn't. Oh, I believed to a certain degree that Jesus was God, but I didn't really have a actual relationship with him. It's just having the head knowledge and respecting God because he was God. But I guess it was wanting to know what love was, but especially truth. And I guess that happened when I became a Christian on October 14th, 2006.
Awesome, great. You know, when I first met you, that was 2007, April, and that was a month after I arrived in North Carolina for the first time. And I was newbie, and I had no idea what to do, and I was actually looking for somebody who can help and who can partner with me to reach out international students. And I remember you were the first person who showed up, and I was speaking at a church, and then you came to me, and I still remember that you said, Sammy, can we meet? Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, and then that was like not long after you were saved.
Yes.
Just a few months after you got saved, and I could see that you were fired up and are so passionate to share the gospel. So, you know, I think there are two things that I really appreciate you. You know, when I first met you, the moment that I met you, I saw the passion in you to reach out the lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And another thing that I really appreciate you is that you have such a passion for God's word. So even, I mean, I was a seminary at the time, and you're not in the seminary, you're not a pastor, and you're not a campus minister, but your love for the Word of God was so amazing. You read the Bible every day, but not just reading the Bible. I still remember that you quoted Bible by memory. So that was very impressive to me. And also, I remember you told me some stories that dramatic change in your life when you were saved, right? So do you want to share a little bit about that too?
Yeah, sure. I know there's a place, and I'll say in Youngsville, North Carolina, I don't want to give out any names, but I was working there. I guess it was to the point where I went through a real tough breakup in my life and just really want to know like what happened. And I started to question God. I started to reach out. Even though I was raised as a Roman Catholic, I started to seek out other things like New Age things, Buddhism, wanting just to figure out like really the existence of God, because nowadays things people think that there's multiple ways to get to God, but for me to really cry out there to God asking, I want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And once I had that hunger and desire, that's where Christ made himself very real to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that hit me hard was the attempt of suicide. I remember I had a Desert Eagle 50 caliber. I can literally like miss my head with a bullet, but it'll still kill me. Knowing that much, you know, how much damage that pistol could have made to my body or to my head, anywhere, I would have been gone. But there's a woman named Patricia. She really, nowadays she's like my spiritual mom. And she's the one that really directly and indirectly pushed me to strive with my relationship with Christ. Because when I first became a believer, I wouldn't read the Bible. I was just so intimidated by it because, you know, in the front cover it says Holy Bible.
Yeah.
So technically it's like when you see the word holy, it's like you it's like a reverence fear. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really understood what reverence was. It's just a fear that I had, because I don't want to disrespect it, you know. So that was one of the core things that happened to me, was the dramatic change was the attempt at suicide or potentially going mentally insane. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much stuff that hit me, and I felt like the devil was speaking to me, saying, you know, just, I'll be, you know, please, they don't want to show grace to me, though, but this is what happened. What it spoke, he spoke through me, saying, you don't have the balls to shoot yourself. Mm. You know, those are the actual real words, but that's that temptation that was in my heart and my mind. But then, but I heard a real, still, silent voice to this day. It still melts my heart, because all he said was, there is another way. Mm-hmm. Instead of killing myself, he just really said that. And then Patricia came to my mind, and I called her. Then that's where she started talking about Jesus, salvation. And then that's where I repented for my sins. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, my life has changed. So yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. So it's been about a little over 10 years.
11 years.
Wow, 11 years.
11 years.
Wow, so you're 11 years old and spiritual age, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what is God's calling for your life?
I'm still seeking that out still, but I guess what I've heard years ago was to be a leader, to be just any example, just to be an example to whoever I meet. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no specific calling, but maybe I shouldn't say that. I just have a heart for Southeast Asia. Mm. I remember when I went to the seminary, I looked at the at things. I started to pray at the map and prayed about it. And I guess it's just my heart. When I looked at Vietnam, my heart just really melted. Mm-hmm. It literally cried. And I remember the words that I said to God, saying, "Father, where do I die? Mm. Do I die here in the United States, or will I die in Vietnam?" Mm-hmm. So that at that point, I knew it was Southeast, or at least Vietnam, but I guess my heart's desire is to really win, like, as many souls for Christ, not for my glory, but for His glory.
Amen. But you are not born in Vietnam, right? You were
no,
born here.
I was born here in Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Yes.
It's only about 2 hours from Raleigh, right?
About that.
So you lived, so you were born and grew up, and you were pretty much raised in America.
Correct. Right?
Okay.
Yes.
But you are a Vietnamese American.
Yes.
But you feel very strongly connected to missions in Vietnam.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. What is your life verse?
There's actually a couple of them, but since the ministry that I felt God also calling, I forgot to mention, is mostly using fitness as a tool for my ministry. But if I want to use fitness as my ministry, this verse that came to me was, it stuck with me for a long time, was 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things.
Mm, amen. Now, you mentioned about the using fitness as a tool.
Yes.
Now, can you describe what it's like? And you can also mention about what you majored that can relate to, you know, fitness ministry.
Yeah. So I guess I went back to school kind of late at East Carolina, and I was planning to be an engineer, but then I started feeling miserable, overstressed, okay. And I started to question about many things in my life. But I guess it's just, after changing my major from engineering, I went to health fitness, or as graduated as a health fitness specialist, pursued after basically fitness. And I always want to use any sort of fitness, as in, I guess mostly it's CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to just use anything what I can, because I know that God has built me to a certain way to show people, in ways, His glory. Mm. And I want to use, like I said, whatever I have, whatever I possess, inside out, hidden or what or whatnot or exposed. Mostly it's for him, not me. So that's why a lot of times, sometimes I use that verse to make me think to myself, saying, you know, don't, you know, for fitness it's important, but yet you want to show the godliness to people so that they will reflect Christ, that they will be drawn to that.
Amen. Yes. Sure. Just out of curiosity, just personal question.
Sure.
How much weight can you lift up?
Well, that depends upon what question, what you specifically ask, though. But, you know, I mean, I've lifted, you know, well over 500 pounds.
So, wow. So probably you can lift up 5 of me.
Probably so.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Now, who is the biggest influence in your life?
What I'll say is that this will reflect to CrossFit. One guy that I looked up to, but and I will admit to be transparent, is a guy, he was also a believer, and he's also in the CrossFit, doing CrossFit, and he's been in the games for multiple years, has won the games multiple times in singles and even teams. And I also met him and before in Virginia. It's Rich Froning. Mm-hmm. Just his character, it really brings things out. Like it did challenge me on some things, how he's fit, he works out and he has a lot of tattoos, but yet it's scripture. Mm-hmm. And he even put like things on his headband and even shoes, like scripture verses, and that kind of made me think, as in maybe I should do something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But it has got to a point where it ended up me in a ways idolizing him. Mm-hmm. But then I that's why the verse, First Timothy, it made me think differently, as in, you know, don't be caught upon other people. And even for me, wanting to get tattoos on my body with scripture verses, but Jesus, you know, I felt God speaking to my heart, saying, you don't need any tattoos because my name is tattooed in your heart.
Mm.
And that I felt convicted in my heart so deeply, where I don't have that desire upon following a man, or to get anything that makes myself a billboard. Mm. You know, I just want to be clean, pure as possible,
right,
in the sight of man, and especially in the sight of God. But it progressed differently. Though I had Christ in my center, but I ended up having a man in my life where I idolized him. Mm-hmm. But then when I got everything back into perspective, the person who influenced me the most, I would say, is it's always been Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Always been Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, how was your life growing as Vietnamese American in Virginia, in North Carolina, in the southern states?
I guess, as I mentioned, being raised as Roman Catholic, going to church every Sunday, everything was very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
Very had it's a lot of rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess every time when I was in church, I was like, this is the same thing. Like, I can quote every single word what the priests would say.
Mm-hmm.
The altar boys, whatever they do, is like, you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's nothing for me. I felt my heart wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I felt like, why am I here?
Mm.
And I guess, you know, things what kind of drew me away was some traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Some things what I felt in my heart where I couldn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it kind of made my parents upset and mm-hmm. other things. But like I said, I'm just being real. So, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're, I guess there are a lot of Asian people moving into the Triangle area. So I think it's a different now. But maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, back then, Asians, yes, Vietnamese American would be very minority in this area. So did you have any special experience as growing up as a minority, like in the school or your relationship with other people? Did you have any of the difficulties or? How would you describe?
To be straightforward,
mm-hmm.
to be blunt, honest, transparent, it was hard being Asian. Mm. Majority of the group where you are were Caucasians, and like it will always be like you're the only Asian person there, mm-hmm. and it's hard to fit in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what did frustrate me and anger me was other people. I remember the Catholic school I was in, I found out that this little boy mm-hmm. is also Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. But when he saw me, he freaked out and he says, "Ah, Chinese man." I'm like, dude, it's just weird because typical response is if you're Asian, you're Chinese. And that's so, it's ridiculous because, you know, all Asians do not look alike. All, you know, Caucasians don't look alike. It's just the flesh is just being so deceived and it's just putting individuals in boxes and saying this is who you are, that. But that's why I'm glad that Christ came to save. Mm-hmm. And it makes me different. Mm-hmm. It makes me different the way how I see things, because I used to be, you know, very racist, very arrogant, mm-hmm. prideful, etc. But to you know, to knowing the scripture, knowing the point where, you know, even the scripture even mentions saying, "Whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed." And that's another verse that I hold dearly to, because a lot of times spiritual warfare that battles inside my heart and my mind, and it makes me want to go back to my old ways. But yet, and the devil would even try to, you know, to blame me or to accuse me. Mm-hmm. Or whatnot, that, you know, that I'm not saved or whatnot. But I know for a fact that whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen. Well, no offense to you, but when I first saw you, I thought you were Korean.
Oh no, I get that a lot. I usually get Chinese, Korean, and the weird part is it's almost last is Vietnamese. Mm. Yeah.
So now, are you proud to be a Vietnamese American or Asian American?
Definitely. I mean, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny who I am.
Yeah.
God created me in this way. And sometimes, even late, even yesterday, I actually looked myself in the mirror. I'm like, it looks like I could be mixed between a Caucasian, but yet any sort of, I'm not sure, like maybe even German. I don't know, man. I mean, European, I'll say, but yet even I see almost a hint of Korean. And but like I said, knowing from my family history, we've been Vietnamese. So mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say that I'm a mix or anything. I'm just proud of who I am. Sure. That's the way that Christ made me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, could you share a little bit about your highlight and lowest point of your life?
Highlight recently, I'll say that there's a position. Being a manager, I really had no experience except for one time. I was actually an assistant manager at a beauty supply place. I guess one of the reasons why they took me is because I probably look Korean. So I'm sorry. But I was doing that for a couple of months, but it wasn't a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. But then when I met another friend, her company was looking for an ops manager. And like I said, I just said, you know what, just do it. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. With barely any experience, but I guess it was my heart. Mm-hmm. I was very transparent. That's what I like to be. I don't like being fake. Mm-hmm. I want to be transparent. If people like it, great. If they don't, then okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt me like it did back then. But my highlight was getting a position that I know physically I'm not qualified. Mm. But I believe that God opened that door for me to get this position, to put me in a certain position.
Right.
And to be a light. I know it's not a perfect road. I know I messed up many times, but you know, I've learned from it. Mm-hmm. So yes. One of the lowest points that, in my life, I'll say recently, sometimes it's just that the sense of direction upon what's the next step. Mm-hmm. You've taken so many steps forward, but what's the next step? But I know I can't just stand there. I have to take step by step by faith.
Right.
So I guess sometimes I have, you know, that disappointment upon what I need to do, because it's mostly sometimes it's my decisions, what I've made in my life. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. Right. Well, thanks a lot, sharing. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.